This is Story of the Gods, brought to you by Chamit FM. Hi, my name is Perpetua Fasomi Peter, and in this podcast, I will be sharing with you popular and not so popular folk stories from African mythology. These are tales passed down by our ancestors, and I hope you find them interesting. What is a great day without you listening to me on Story of the Gods? Today, I'm taking a detour. Remember before now, about 4 weeks ago, I told you I was going to take you to Southeast Nigeria, where I was going to bring you stories from Igbo land, Igbo gods. Yeah, I did that. But now I'm taking a detour. I just want to pick random gods from different parts of Africa. So that's what I'm doing today. That's the detour I'm talking about. Now, this particular one is believed to be active just as recent as 70 years ago. Here is the story of a god who would continue to cause chaos and wreak havoc till his wife returned to him from the village she visited. For centuries, there lived a group of people who lived in a region known as the Grumbe Trough. Well, that's the region from Kariba Gorge upstream to Devil's Gorge. This region was located by both banks of the Zambezi River, which went across Zimbabwe and Zambia. And these people were known as the Tonga people. You can call them the Tonga tribe or Batonga. I like the way that sounds. I feel like saying it again. Batonga. Yeah, that's it. Although they lived with the fear of slaving parties, they later found a way to hide themselves from the outside world. With little contact with the outside world, they lived very, very simple lives. I mean, their lives was very, very simple. They built their houses along the banks of the Great River and believed that their gods will look after them by supplying them with water and food until the unexpected happened. Their relatively peaceful world, as they knew it, changed forever. In the late 1950s, they witnessed a 1,000-year flood that took the lives of so many of their tribe members and foreigners who at that time were building a dam across the river, which to the Tonga people was sacred. Keep in note, these were the colonial years of Zambia and Zimbabwe. Days after the flood, some of the surviving foreigners went in to retrieve the bodies of those lost in the river. But to their surprise, they could not find any of the bodies. They had all mysteriously vanished. Eventually, the surviving foreign builders turned rescuers in need of guidance and more local knowledge to understand the river, approached the local chief of the Tonga tribe, hoping to get answers on how they can retrieve the bodies to bury. As the tribal chief listened to the foreigners, he sent for the elders of the land to come together and hear for themselves the request that was brought by the foreigners. The elders who survived the flood gathered and listened. After all was said, they whispered and murmured amongst themselves. The white man, furious and wondering why they were doing that and not giving him answers, asked loudly, "Does anyone know how we can get our people out of that river?" The elders paused and stared at him, and almost together they said, "Nyami, Nyami has taken them all." In confusion, they asked, "Who is Nyami, Nyami?" Here the story begins. You see, once upon a time, there lived a creature that had a body like a snake and a head like a fish. But when you see this creature from afar, he had the figure of a dragon. His name, Nyami Nyami, known to the Tonga people as the River God. He loved swimming through the Zambezi River, and whenever he swam past, the waters turned red. He never showed his full figure, but when the tribe's chief, Sampa Karuma, saw a part of him, he was able to measure Nyami Nyami up to about 3 meters wide thereabout, but hey, he cautioned no one should guess his length. He resided under a very huge rock called Kariwa, also known as the Trap. Well, I'll get to why it is called that later in the story. But this rock is still in existence, 30 meters under what is today's Lake Kariba. He was married to the love of his life. She was also a goddess of the underworld. And for centuries, the Tonga people believed that Nyame Nyame and his wife had protected and provided for them in difficult times, to the extent that he fed them his own meat when they were hungry. The Tonga people pledged their allegiance to him by performing ceremonial dances and sacrifices to appease him when he needed to be appeased. But then, the colonization, or according to the tribe, the invasion of the whites began. Nyame Nyame took his wife and went into hiding, but on rare occasions came out to see his people. After some time, he stopped visiting the valleys, but his wife kept on visiting the Tonga people to hear their prayers and give them answers. He stayed sad each time his wife came back from her visits, telling him about prayers requested by his people and the feeling of oppression. Could he have been thinking then, when the whites leave, I will go save my people? Little did he know, things were going to change. Oh, they did. So drastically they did. In the early 1940s, a report was made about the possibility of a hydroelectric project to supply power to then Northern Rhodesia on one side of the river and Southern Rhodesia, as named by the whites, which is today's Zambia and Zimbabwe, because of their growing economy as a result of colonization. And so, it's begun. The Kariba Dam project was in motion. Legend has it that Nyame Nyame was so upset that in early 1950, he created a cyclone from the Indian Ocean and swept up the valley, killing so many of those who came to survey the land and animals around. He was doing anything to protect his beloved people and region. It was recorded that nothing like it had been seen before. But work continued, and massive earth-shaking equipment piled up into the valley and tore thousands of 100-year-old trees to build roads and settlements to house the foreign workers who poured into the area to build a dam that would harness power of the powerful river of which Nyame Nyame commanded. This time, the river god was angered, and this time, it was on Christmas Eve, 1955. He sent an unpredicted flood that would wash away the foundations of the Kofa Dam and the newly constructed pontoon bridge. The Tonga's peace and solitude were shattered, and they were told to leave their homes and move away from the river to avoid the flood that the dam could cause. Many of them forcibly removed, as they would not believe that their homes and fields, as they had known all their lives, would now be flooded and underwater. Reluctantly, they allowed themselves to be resettled higher up the bank, but they believed Nyame Nyame would never allow the dam to be built, and he would eventually find a way to move them back to their homes. Well, in the midst of the chaos, Nyame Nyame's wife decided to go down to the new settlement by the valley to meet with Tonga people. What a passionate goddess. She stayed with them and began taking their prayers and blessing them to the point she lost track of time. With shock, she swiftly tried to get back downstream to be with her husband. Alas, it was too late. The whites had completed the dam and blocked all access. As an angry Nyame Nyame, who was downstream, waited patiently for his wife's return to get updates, he felt something was wrong. He decided to go upstream to be with his wife and see his people. But to his shock, there was the dam, almost completed. Nyame Nyame was so furious that he struck so hard and caused the worst flood ever known on the Zambezi, which has washed away the foreigners who could not be found. And so, the tribal chief told the rescuers a black calf will have to be slaughtered and floated on the river. It was done. The next morning, the calf was gone, and the workers' bodies were in its place. The rescuers were astonished and could not even believe it. It was all a mystery to them. Till this very day, the mystery has never been explained to satisfaction. But Tonga elders kept on making sacrifices, begging Yami Yami to not lay his wrath upon them. Yami Yami was heartbroken. He could no longer see his wife nor his people anymore. Every now and then, Yami Yami felt philandering downstream towards mana pools. The Tonga people know this because they feel the earth tremors when he does. He's now lonely without his wife. He's waiting for the destruction of the dam to reunite with his wife. Today, an angry, lonely river god lives in Rock Kariwa under the Lake Kariba, and no man is allowed to venture near his residence because if you do, you'll be sucked down in the whirlpools and will never be seen again. The Rock Kariwa is now known as the Trap. I told you why. Nothing has changed really. They still live on the shores of Lake Kariba, and many still believe one day Yami Yami will fulfill his promise and they will be able to return to their homes on the banks of the river. Why do they want to return to the banks of the river? You have an answer already. They miss Yami Yami. That's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you want to support what we do on the show, then please share with your friends, subscribe, and leave a review over on iTunes. That's all for now. But I'll see you in the next episode of Story of the Gods, hosted by me, Perpetua Fasome Peter, from Jamit.fm. Story of the Gods is produced by Ike Orizu and myself, editing and mixing done by Ike Orizu. Story of the Gods is a production of Jamit FM.